Hi, once again, I am Kayla Ali, and welcome to the Ali Perspective. And you know we're going to start the episode off with college football. And I went one for one in predictions, okay? I thought Penn State would have slid their way in along with Ohio State, making it a Big Ten playoffs. But Drew Aller had a different take. And the reason why I say Drew Aller was because they had a chance to beat Notre Dame. And he threw an interception, which allowed Notre Dame to go down the field and score the walk-off field goal to win the game. So you guys got me. I did lose that one. But I knew in the other college football playoff game that Ohio State would beat Texas. Texas didn't look that impressive against Arizona State. I think if Arizona State would have got out to the faster start than they did originally against Texas, Arizona State would have won that game. But that didn't happen, and Texas was able to move on. But Ohio State just seemed to want it more. Now, I will give a shout out to the corner that stayed glued to Jeremiah Smith of Ohio State, because he held Jeremiah Smith to practically nothing. He wasn't as explosive as he was in the previous game, so shout out to them. But they wasn't able to stop the rest of Ohio State. So Quinn Ewers didn't get his revenge on Ohio State, you know, because that's where he originally was until he transferred to Texas. So that one, that game wasn't very exciting to me for some reason. I don't know. But it was a good game, though, but it wasn't as exciting as the Penn State-Notre Dame game. So in the national championship, we are going to have Notre Dame and Ohio State. Now, my prediction is I think I'm going to give it to Ohio State. Ohio State, I think from top to bottom, has a better roster than Notre Dame, but we've kind of seen Notre Dame pick their way out of a sticky situation last week. So I think Ohio State is going to be the national champion. And maybe I'm wrong. And then I have to come back and sit right here like I did today and tell you that my prediction was wrong. But I will say this. This college football season has been very exciting. I mean, from the first week to the very last regular season game, rivalry week, we have had really, really good football. And it sucks that it's ending. I feel like it's ending so soon. But we had a really good season. Shout out to everyone who became All-American on offense and defense. I looked at the list, and I don't have a single player that I think was left off. I think Cam Ward deserved to be All-American. I mean, look what the guy did. His numbers speaks for itself. It's going to be interesting to see where he lands in the draft. Also, shout out to the two running backs, Ashton Jeanty and the Arizona State running back. And his name is escaping me right now, and I apologize for that. But I just can't think of it right now. But he is super, super talented. I think whatever team gets him and Ashton Jeanty are going to be really good. I think they'll be rookies that can make an impact straight away to whatever team they go to. So on January 20th, we'll crown the 2025 NCAA football national champion, and I can't wait. And I can't wait, but then I'm sad to see college football go away. So yeah, and shout out to the Heisman winner. And seeing where Travis Hunter also lands in the draft. April 22nd through the 24th will be the NFL draft, and that first round is going to be very interesting. I think a lot of teams can go a lot of different ways, can also address different needs. So yeah, that's it for college football, guys. So to next week's show, the segment will be a little bit, I'll go a little bit into more detail of who I think will be Heisman front runners next year, and what true freshmen I think will come in and make an impact straight away. Also, what transfer portal signee I think will have the biggest impact. Okay. Now moving on to the NFL. All right, so we had great football, and then we also had a lot of not so great football this past weekend. But I want to give the LA Rams and the Vikings. What a game, okay? The LA Rams straight dominated. I've always said that the Rams are the team that they get a little scary when they click in the playoffs. And they, for the past two seasons, they have started off slow. And then after their bye week, they're able to put all the pieces together and go out and perform, okay? And that's what they've been doing the last few weeks. And I also want to give a shout out to my fellow SC State alum, Kobe Durant, who had a sack as well as an interception against the Minnesota Vikings. Now, the Minnesota Vikings, you went 14-3. Your last two games was absolute stinkers. Sam Darnold lost himself a lot of money in these last two games. I mean, these last two games, you are 14-2 team, and you've led an NFL team to 14 wins, and then you just collapse. I saw someone said, you can take the players out of the Jets, but you can't take the Jets out of the player. And Sam Darnold looked like he was back on the Jets the way that he played. The ability to not throw the ball away, and he was sacked, what, six times in the first half alone? And all those sacks he had, I would say out of the six sacks, three sacks, he had time to throw the ball away to avoid those sacks. And those sacks cost them their drive. When they were moving the ball, he gets sacked and he doesn't throw the ball away. And then now they're in second and forever, and the Rams are able to play the type of defense that they want to play. Then the offensive coordinator kept trying to get the Vikings to establish a run game instead of just realizing, like, okay, we're behind. We got to start getting some momentum. Let's throw the ball out. Let's get it out quick. They decided to continue to run the ball and then not get anything on those downs because the Rams front four was just able to shut down the run game. So that one is going to be a little interesting, and we'll see how that goes. And then the Rams will have to travel to go play the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, the Eagles came off of beating the Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers, basically all their wide receivers were gone. And Jordan Love threw three INTs, I believe. Yes, he threw three INTs. One to Slay, one to Bond, and one to Quinnen Mitchell, who finally got his first career interception. So to see Jordan Love kind of just throw the ball away, I wasn't surprised, but I was hoping it was going to be a little bit better than that. I was hoping it was going to be better than that. So now we have the Rams and the Eagles in our next playoff game. And that's going to be an interesting matchup for a simple fact that I think the Rams defense has gotten a lot better than how they were when they played the Eagles early in the season. And if I'm not mistaken, Saquon Barkley rushed for like 255 yards and two touchdowns against the Rams. I don't think he's going to be able to do that. I do think Jalen Hurts is going to have the ball in his hand more, and he's going to throw the ball out. He's going to have to rely on his wide receivers to catch the ball and make plays. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, the tight end. Dallas Goedert didn't even play the first time that the Rams played against the Eagles. So that's going to be an interesting matchup. And I almost don't want to make a pick because I really don't know which way that'll go. But from the trends I'm seeing, I'm going to have to give it to the Philadelphia Eagles. I think the Philadelphia Eagles will be able to make it to their championship, their division championship. On the other end, I know people are talking about Jalen Hurts. They're saying he's not able to throw the ball. He's not getting the ball to his receivers. But then when you look at the film, his receivers weren't open. How can he throw the ball, even though he has great time in the pocket, when his receivers are not getting open? So the offensive coordinator needs to come up with some more route designs or concepts or whatever so they can get his wide receivers open, because I think that is going to be the key to the Philadelphia Eagles beating the Rams, okay? Next, we have the Houston Texans, who were able, C.J. Stroud finally found his groove, and he was able to go and beat the Chargers, all right? Justin Herbert, we got to have a conversation about you. 5 years in the league, you're making all that money, still no playoff win. CJ Stroud, looks like you kind of find your groove again, but it's going to be hard to keep that groove against the Kansas City Chiefs. You're going up against the two-time Super Bowl champions, and they're looking to three-peat. They had a week to rest, write up some game plans, get players who was kind of injured to fill in, going from 70% ready to 100% ready. So you guys are going to have to be in your A game, and you're going to Arrowhead. Tough matchup, okay? That's going to be a tough one, but I'm going to have to give the edge on that one to the Kansas City Chiefs. Then you're going to have the Detroit Lions and the Washington Commanders. Commanders were able to get it done, go out and beat Baker Mayfield. And it was a walk-off, and I was wrong about that pick too. It was a walk-off field goal attempt that Jaden Daniels was just able to march his team down the field. Whenever they needed him to get a first down, he was able to, and he used his legs. He made smart decisions, didn't put the ball in harm's way. He did not perform like he was a rookie playing in his first NFL playoff game. Okay, and shout out to the Commanders for winning their very first playoff game in 20 years. So shout out to them. They were able to go make some key additions in the offseason to add to their defense while also drafting Daniels and him being able to make an immediate impact on offense. But I think this is where their playoff run ends, and I'm going to give it to the Lions. The Detroit Lions is going to win that game. They've had time to get healthy too. Their offense is explosive. I think that they're going to win that game. And I'm sorry, guys. I'm blanking on the last game. So give me 1 second. I'm going to pull it up and we can discuss it. Because how am I missing out on what the last game is out of the four games remaining?
Baltimore and the Steelers.
No, Baltimore Steelers played last week.
I'm sorry.
So it's going to be Baltimore and the Bills. Thank you to my great producer for that one. Yeah. And I don't know how I forgot this one because my dad is a Bills fan. So the Ravens and the Bills. Ooh. The Ravens whipped the Bills in the regular season 35-10. Are they going to be able to do that again in Buffalo? I don't think so. I'm going to give I think Josh Allen and the Bills get it done against the Ravens. I think it's going to be a very close game. I think it's going to come down to either walk-off field goal, walk-off touchdown, or overtime. I really think so. I think both teams are really good. They're playing really well. They're both able to make big plays when they need to make big plays. So that one is going to be an interesting one. That's going to be a tough one to call. But I think the winners this week are going to be the Lions, the Eagles, the Bills, and the Chiefs. I think those are going to be our division championship games. So we'll see if I'm right or wrong. But those are going to be those are the matchups I think we're going to have. And then I'm going to make my Super Bowl pick next week. Okay. And I also want to add this before we shift to the questions that you guys have sent in to us. I want to say this. There is no reason there should be this much talk about the Steelers trading Mike Tomlin. I think that is an absurd take. And I think people are reaching and people are being absurd about that. And I'm glad that in the press conference, he was saying teams are wasting their time if they think that he can be traded. I honestly think that him, the owners, they're on one accord that he's not being traded, okay? So come back next week. We'll talk about if I'm right or wrong, and then we'll go from there. But I think my producer has some questions for me.
You've got mail.
Yeah, people love your show.
Yes.
So you got about 4 emails today.
Okay.
All right, one of them has to do with what you already talked about. But okay. First it says, hello, Kayla. Love the show. Did the expansion of the college football playoffs make it a watered-down product?
I've been seeing a lot of people say that because Notre Dame and Ohio State they weren't even in their conference championship game. I don't think that it has made it a watered-down product because if your team is good, you're going to go all the way. And sometimes people fall in better situations than others. Now, if we were back in the BCF or the old playoff, neither one of these teams would have been even in contention. But I like the playoff format. I think it gives teams who were always kind of unlucky, like they were always losing two games or they just couldn't get over the hump. I think it allows them to come in, and I like upsets. If your team won the conference, then your team should be able to beat a team who didn't make it to the conference championship. So I don't think it's making a watered-down product. I think it's teaching teams that you need to be ready any and every time. There's no advantage, and everyone is on a level playing field now. So I don't think it's a watered-down product.
Okay, and my question to that to you is, I was listening to First Take, and they were talking about the fact that Notre Dame is the only school, since they're not a part of the conference, that has to, because each team that's in the conference has to share their revenue from the bowl games with their conference. And it's not fair that Notre Dame has no conference to be in, that they're in. So that was the first thing, was the money side of it. And then the second thing was, whereas a conference championship would knock somebody out of contention, it doesn't knock them out of contention. Do you think Notre Dame needs to be, I would say, put out of the possibility of being in the college football playoffs because they're the only ones that are not in a conference, which makes it an unfair advantage to them?
I think there needs to be some form of rule, not necessarily a rule, but like something, because I didn't like their schedule. I thought their schedule wasn't as tough as other teams' schedule was.
100%.
So, and I mean, this is also a team, they're in a national championship, but they lost to Northern Illinois. Mm-hmm. And it kind of didn't really affect them except for in their seating.
Yeah.
And the money part, I mean, Notre Dame is probably one of the richest schools in the country. Mm. I think even with them maybe not having to share the revenue from the bowl games, I think they're still going to be the richest school.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think the money part of it, the unfairness part of it, because all these teams, all these big name teams, they're going to have an unfair advantage somewhere, somehow. Mm-hmm. So I don't think the money part about it is particularly affecting Notre Dame. Or giving them an advantage, but I think them not being in the comp, like there needs to be something where they need to play harder teams or stronger teams. Yeah. I guess, like, because I'm not a fan of watered down schedule. You basically going undefeated, and then like I said, you lose to Northern Illinois, and then like now you're in the national championship. But I mean, Penn State had a really good shot of beating them and going to the national championship. So it's just kind of like however your cards may lay when you get into the 12-team playoff.
I mean,
but
to this point, I think Notre Dame is a really good team, regardless as to whether they're in the conference or not. But I just know that that's what people are kind of talking about. All right, email number two is from Eric in Florence. He says, hey there, Keller. Really enjoying the show. With the Steelers loss, should Mike Tomlin be removed as coach? He has an overall record of 183, 107, and 2. He's 8-11 in the playoffs and one championship, who people say really that was not his team.
Like I said earlier, I don't think that man should be fired. I think that man overachieves in the regular season, and then the team, and then when you get into the playoffs, you just realize the team is not that great. And that's just because I believe the front office does not do a good job of adapting to the times. The Steelers are still in a time where you pay your defense as much money as possible, and then you do the bare minimum. You get a good quarterback, or you pay the bare minimum on offense, and then you just hope that your defense can win you games. This is an offensive-driven league now. You need to spend money on offense. And the front office of the Steelers, they do not do that. And I think until we see the front office make changes to where that they want to spend money on a wide receiver, they want to go out and get a top-notch quarterback, they want to go out and just go, they make it more even on like how much money they're paying the offense or the defense, then I don't think we can blame Tomlin. I really don't. And then we saw when when people leave the Raven, when people leave the Steelers, how their careers just kind of crumble a little bit. Mm-hmm. And you realize that Tomlin was able to keep all of these personalities together. And when they left, they unraveled. Look at Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, Deontay. Now, the next one is Deontay Johnson. He's able to keep these people in check. He's able to go out and get wins and coach when he and coach when to the best of his ability. But they're not giving him the product that he needs for us to really see, well, okay, he's a bust. That's how I feel about Mike Tomlin and coaching. And that's why I don't think that this man is basically giving a mediocre offense and he's able to not have a losing season in the regular season. So why would you fire him? Now, if you go out and you spend the money offensively and he still does nothing in the playoffs, then I think we have a problem. But until now, until then, you keep Mike Tomlin.
Okay. Next email was, before that, they played a clip of Pickens and his reaction after they lost. He was like, I think they asked him, you had a good season. What are your thoughts? And he said, no, it was good. It was this, that, and the third. Yeah, we almost got there. And then the last thing he says, are you optimistic about the future? And he was like, no. Do you think Pickens is another receiver in the long line of disgruntled Pittsburgh receivers? Antonio Brown, Santonio Holmes. What's the one that went to Kansas City? He's at Kansas City. Juju Smith-Schuster.
Chase Claypool.
Do you think he's another one in this long line of wide receivers? Because the conversation was that they hang on to mediocre quarterbacks for too long. Ben Roethlisberger, they said they held on to him too long. And now you can't, and since, because you held on to him too long, you passed up on, I think they said they passed up on Lamar, on Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
In that same draft, they picked a safety.
Mm-hmm. They pick Terrell Edmonds.
Yep. Yeah. So what do you think that, is it the receiver or is it the organization?
It's the organization. They continuously make wrong decisions on the offensive side of the ball. And I don't know what it is. They, for the most part, they're pretty good at getting defensive players. I mean, Cam Hayward, T.J. Watt, like those players were drafted to the Steelers. Alex Highsmith, like those are really good linebackers, D linemen. Joey Porter Jr., like they do really good on the defensive side of the ball. Offensively, like it, especially, okay, like Ben was definitely there a year too long. I think after the elbow, he should have just retired after that. Mm. But it's really hard to let your franchise guy go. So I kind of understand why it took them so long to let Ben go. But I will say this. I think in their quarterback room now, I think that they definitely can. If I was them, I would keep Justin Fields.
And I would cut Russell Wilson.
And I would either cut Russell Wilson or Russell's going to have to understand he's going to take a drastic pay cut. He's going to get paid the vet minimum, yeah. And he's there to mentor. Yeah. Justin, but it's Justin's team.
Because I think Justin Fields, he had an opportunity to watch. I think they need to invest in him. I don't see a quarterback at the pick they're going to get. I don't see a quality quarterback falling to them at that particular pick.
As also, because they're always middle of the pack, they never get a top draft pick. They're always in the bottom 20 of the draft order. And it's never really... Unless you get lucky.
With a deep draft.
With a deep draft. And I don't think...
This year ain't that.
I honestly maybe see three quarterbacks, possibly three,
and I hope you
make an impact. And I'm talking about Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders.
See, I don't know if Shedeur Sanders is ready.
But see, I think it depends on what organization he goes to. And if he ends up in the wrong situation...
One of your next questions is gonna bring that up.
Okay.
Let's get on to the next question. Mm-hmm. Hey Kayla, this is Holmes. What are your thoughts on the idea of Deion to the Cowboys?
Well, I will say this. Deion has coached high school, college. Like, he has really laid the groundwork to coach, learn how to coach. And did he win? Only thing about him, though, he has not won any big games.
No.
At the college level, even when he was at Jackson State, he never won a Celebration Bowl. Mm-hmm. Then, I mean, he did turn Colorado into a bowl team in 2 years, but still didn't win the bowl game, nor did he beat a ranked opponent the whole time he was there. But him and Jerry Jones, I honestly think that's just talk. I think it's just talk. If it happens, I would be shocked. Like, because do I think that he can coach an NFL team? Yes. Do I think that he's going to have, like, great success? Like I think he would be like a Brian Daboll, right? Mm-hmm. So how Brian Daboll came out, and when he got the job with the Giants, they won their first season, was able to make it to the playoffs. And then they lost first round, and then they've been trash ever since.
Well, I don't think that's, see, as a Giants fan, since 86, as a Giants fan, that is not Brian's fault.
It's not all Brian's fault.
First off, I wouldn't say he is not the GM. It's not like he's a head coach that has GM responsibilities.
But that's why I say I think it will be like that, because I don't trust Jerry Jones either.
I don't trust Dallas
front office to do right by Deion to allow him to be successful. Because with the pieces that they have now, I think they could be successful his first year. And then after that, it goes downhill.
Okay.
Because then Michael Parsons will be up for contract negotiations.
And then the question is, like, do you pick, well, what's the name is not going to be there anyway.
Yeah.
When the Cowboys pick, what's the two-way player? What's his name?
Travis Hunter.
Travis Hunter won't be at that pick.
Travis Hunter should definitely go top three.
Top three. He's gone.
Yeah.
He's gone. The only player that he can get, and this brings me to a question that I have.
Mm-hmm.
Listening to another sports podcast. I can forget which one it was. And they were like, yes, because Deion made the statement, I'll coach for whoever's going to allow me to coach my son,
mm-hmm.
which is Shador, of course. Yeah. And so, the question is, can Shador play for another coach? His dad never played for another coach. Exactly.
His dad coached
him Pop Warner, middle school,
high school,
college. He's never played for another coach. Can he play for another coach? And on the flip side of that, because here's my other question, can Deion coach another quarterback? Because he's never coached another quarterback other than his son.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I think Deion has knowledge of the game enough to where he can do what needs to be done.
Now, what about his coordinators?
Now,
can the coordinator sit Shador down?
And see, the NFL is a whole different beast.
That's what I'm saying.
That's why I'm kind of stuck on this question, because
I don't think it's a thing.
I don't think it's a thing either. I don't think it's a thing.
I think if Deion is smart, he stays right where he is.
Yes.
Maybe stays at the college level, continues to build Colorado until he gets to a high-profile job,
mm-hmm.
and then where he can really, with some money, with some real NIL yep. money, where he can really bring some kids in and kind of show that he can coach, that he can coach another, that other sets of kids
especially,
that are not his.
Especially when the fact that you have a 5-star Elite 11 quarterback in your program right now.
Yeah.
So he's going to be starting. Keep him, and he's going to be the starter unless something drastic happens.
Yeah.
And everyone has been raving about this kid. So I personally think I agree with you. He stays at Colorado. He proves that he can win big games. He needs to win a bowl game. I mean, you've been coaching for 4 years in college and you haven't won a bowl game, and you've been to 3.
Mm.
So, and you're 0-3. We need to see something. We need to see something. So, I think he needs to stay. Okay. And then I think him going to – I just think that's media. You got prime time coaching America's team.
Yeah, well, I mean, they said that Jerry Jones and him did talk. It was from ESPN.
Yeah, but I honestly think it was just a
– hey, what you thinking?
Yeah.
Because I don't
– and then Deion has said He doesn't want to coach men that make more money than him.
Well, that's true. So he gonna come in wanting to be the highest paid.
And exactly. And then you got people like Dak and CD making that kind of money. How are you gonna shut it out to your coach too? And then still be able to have enough money to keep players like Micah and that linebacker, he was a stud this year. I think he came from the Vikings. Hendricks. Yes. Yeah. He had a stellar season. You're going to have to pay him too. Yeah. So it's like, I don't see that happening. And I think it's just all talk. Do I think if Shador goes to the right situation, like how Bo Nix kind of went into the right situation.
Yeah.
He got with a coach that wanted him. He got a coach that was willing to work with him and tell him, like, okay, you're my number one. Let's build around you.
Not only that, one of the greatest offensive minds ever in football.
Yes.
Like, he's Drew Brees. Mm-hmm. I mean, well, everything he did with the Saints as offensive coordinator for the Giants. He started off as an offensive coordinator for the Giants. Like, just offensive genius.
Yes.
So he got with that because, like I said, he didn't want Russell Wilson.
Right. He didn't want Russell. And I think that's what made Russell not be great.
Yeah,
because it's hard to play for a coach that you know. Because even Tua had the same situation. Brian Flores didn't want Tua.
Yeah.
And that messed up their whole chemistry and how that works.
You know what they say? You ain't never gonna give your all to a person you don't want to be with.
No. So I think, and it's like Shador's gonna have to go to the right situation in order for him to succeed. Because I even think it'll be a tough pill for him to swallow having to back somebody up. And I don't know how he would respond to that because he's never had to do that either.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see how that goes. Last question. Which game we have? Here's the slate. You already went through them. Texans, Chiefs, Commanders, Lions, Rams, Eagles, Ravens, Bills. Which game has the best storyline of all the games this week?
I think it'll probably be Bills and the Ravens, because those are your top two MVP candidates in Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson.
I think the winner wins MVP.
I think the winner wins MVP, even though I think Lamar deserves the MVP no matter what, because we've never had a quarterback though for over 4,100 yards and he had over, 40 touchdowns?
Yeah.
Only four interceptions.
Yeah, 44 touchdowns.
44 touchdowns, four interceptions, and 900 rushing yards. To me, if Lamar doesn't get it, it's like that year when, I think it was 2 years ago, when Jokic should have won NBA MVP, but then they gave it to Embiid, and it kind of was, excuse my language, like, here you go, like, I get that to you.
Like, he got, it's a, where are we? I just had it. Full stats: 41,000 yards,
4,100.
41. I'm sorry, 4,172 yards, 41 touchdowns, four interceptions, and a QBR 77.2.
Yeah. How do you not give those numbers? How do you not give those numbers MVP?
Because I'm gonna tell you what it is. Right now, the hang-up is not that Lamar is
no,
good.
It's Derrick Henry.
It's that. Okay, so Stephen A. made the point. He said, if they lose, it can't be because of him. It can't be because of Lamar. If they lose, Lamar got to go out there. He's got to rush for 200. He's got to throw for 300. He's got to have five touchdowns. And he just lost because they kicked the game-winning field goal.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry had his two touchdowns. But they say that the Derrick Henry factor is what's holding it back because Josh Allen is doing it with nobodies.
But my thing is, James Cook is a 1,000-yard rusher who is like this is his breakout year. Like, when I've watched him play, okay, of course he's not like top 10 in the league, but he's no scrub either.
He's not a scrub.
You know what I'm saying? Because like Najee Harris rushed for 1,000 yards this year for the Steelers, and it kind of was like a. Yeah. But when you look at James Cook on film, like, he's catching the ball, but like, this was the year, like, you can tell that like his rookie contract is like ending and he needs money. and he's like, I want that second NFL contract, so I'm gonna make sure I do what I gotta do. Like, it's been kind of that. And also, like, their wide receivers, that's kind of the same. Really good tight ends, not top of the line tight ends numbers wise, but good solid tight ends. With Zay Flowers is undoubtedly the better wide receiver out of both wide receiver, but him and Shakir from the Bills, they aren't much different. Both defenses have kind of been run of the mill defenses.
See, now you got to listen. Now you got to look at Josh Allen's stats.
Yeah.
3,731 yards passing, 28 touchdowns, 6 INTs. But he does have a passer rating of 101.4.
Because this, and I understand why Josh Allen is in the conversation. I will say that, though. I do understand. Also, because this is undoubtedly his best year.
Oh, it is.
This is his best year that he's
not turning the ball over.
He's not turning the ball. Like, he has made a way better decisions, and he doesn't have a top 10 wide receiver. Yeah. Well, by name. Because I think Shakir is like, he's rated second. He's ranked second in the league in yards after catch behind Ja'Marr Chase. And that's crazy. But anyway, but this is also Lamar Jackson's best year in terms of what people say. He's not a passer.
Yeah.
But he's been passing the ball really well.
But he's got Josh Allen by almost 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I think the winner of the game is going to get it. Even though I think Lamar should be, this should be his third MVP.
Yeah. And this is, and head to head, I think this is the best storyline too. It's just the head to head for the MVP.
Well. But once again, guys, thank you for the questions. This is kind of becoming one of my favorite segments on the show. So please remember to still send in emails, questions. And once football season wraps up, then we're going to dive headfirst into the NBA season. And there's a lot of storylines going on. There's a lot going on in the NBA season. I have been watching, but football has kind of been taking a priority, okay? So once we wrap football season up, basketball, we're coming in full swinging. But once again, I am Kayla Oddly. This is the Oddly Perspective. Please make sure to like, comment, subscribe, and email us questions at theoddlyperspective@gmail.com. And I hope to see you all next weekend.